Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we've got across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yana Strong, that deadly number 1-800-422-416. All right, a powerful TV campaign launches to tackle Indigenous smoking. The title of this campaign, We Breathe, Tackling Indigenous Smoking. With that, we're going to catch and have a yarn now with Susie Gillies, Tackling Indigenous Smoking Program Coordinator on the line. Susie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, fantastic. Congratulations. It's about promoting, marketing, getting it out there, and we need to close the gap regarding smoking for our people. So tell us about this campaign.
So we're a nationally funded by the Department of Health and Ageing program called Tackling Indigenous Smoking. And so we went about producing a really community-led and driven television commercial.
Yes.
So we got local community and mob from all over our catchment area together, and we talked about our ideas and our creative and what we wanted to achieve and what would really resonate with our mob.
Yes.
And we come up with a concept of that community football game, like heading off to the knockout.
Yes. Well, football's a tool, and it grabs attention of our mob. We love our football, love our sports. And there's the platform in regard to promoting or the TV and the campaign.
Yeah, and we came up with like three different storylines that we were really trying to target, you know, young people and their peer pressures, young mums or women who were pregnant, and just really trying to get in touch with mob that, you know, we might not otherwise reach through usual platforms like Aboriginal Medical Service or your local GPs.
Exactly.
And just trying to get that message out there about how dangerous it is. And
when did the campaign kick off?
We actually launched on World No Tobacco Day, the 31st of May.
Okay, lovely.
And we were really fortunate to secure a spot at our local cinema to screen our ad, as well as a reconciliation piece on.
How long does the campaign run for, Susie?
We're actually going to run this campaign for a full 12 months.
Yeah, beautiful.
So we're cognizant of how much it costs and how much time and energy we put into making these things. And then often the campaign only runs for a short period of time.
Sure.
And so we're going to – this was really pushed hard during the state of origin for New South Wales, Queensland.
Yep.
We screen on the Channel 9 network in all of the rugby league games and a number of other topical shows, current affairs shows, and things like Lego Masters, which we hope it might attract some of the younger
ones.
Sure,
exactly. And then when you're talking about those TV shows and you're talking about like NRL, State of Origin, they're captive audience. The people are watching anyway, so it draws their attention and it's in their face, and the old saying, repetition, mother of all schools, we've just got to keep promoting it, keep pushing it out there, don't we?
Yeah, and keep really pushing that it's not just the smoker that is harmed. It's second-hand smoke, third-hand smoke, and really vaping is a really big issue as well. I think big tobacco were struggling. They'd lost their market share a little bit with their youth. They weren't going to take up the cigarettes, and then they came at them with this new product, and they really pushed it hard with, you know, influencers and social media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Next minute, all our mob are out there vaping.
Yep, exactly. So how long you've been the Tackling Indigenous Smoking Program Coordinator?
I've been with this team for a bit over 2 years now.
Okay.
And we actually rebranded our team from, so we were previously known as Butt Out Bunda,
uh-huh.
You know, butt out your cigarette.
Yeah.
But because of the emergence of vaping, we felt that we needed to have a new look
yeah,
and
gotcha.
A new feel. And you know, by focusing on the lungs and breathing and the positives of, yeah, of not smoking and vaping, we felt was a much better approach.
Exactly.
And we didn't want to be a big stick. We didn't want to say don't and stop it. We wanted to say it's hard, it's a journey. How can we help?
End this together, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, fantastic. How many in the team there, Susie?
There's seven of us in the team at the moment.
Well, big shout out to the other six. Big shout out, team effort.
Big shout out, yeah. We've got lovely Kate down in Cooma, New South Wales. We've got Michael and Caden in Queanbeyan and Darcy in Shoalhaven. Yeah. And I've got Nakia here in Batemans Bay as well as our deadly comms officer, Sean Duncan Kinchella.
There you go.
Who Mob might know from Parramatta Indigenous jersey designer.
Yes.
Recently won Indigenous Storyteller Prize, which is pretty fantastic. We're pretty excited to have him on our team.
Well, Susie, you only deal with winners, don't you, sister?
Yeah. Sean was also the co-producer of the ad, along with Benny Edwards and BC Films. So, we got to work with some deadly people. And most importantly, we got to have our local community members there and in the ad. They get to see themselves on TV.
That's right, exactly.
And they get to go, hey, auntie, I've seen you.
Yeah, that's
I know
right.
that look. Yeah, I know that look. Yeah, that one that makes me want to crawl back inside myself.
It's true, that. But the fact is they relate to it. And then the actors or the people involved, it makes them think, leading from the front, you know. If I'm smoking,
absolutely,
I need to stop, you know. Don't act, you know, like, there it is. Look, fantastic. Thanks for sharing. Big shout-out to all the deadly mob out there. Keep your eyes and ears open. We breathe, tackling Indigenous smoking. So there it is. Deadly campaign. Thanks for your yarn. Big shout-out to your deadly team. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Susie Gillies, her name is. Tackling Indigenous Smoking Program Coordinator. So, yep, we have the new powerful TV campaign that's been launched back in May, and it goes for 12 months. So keep your eyes and ears open for it. And We Breathe, Tackling Indigenous Smoking, a very powerful statement. And, we need to stop and break down the break the circle, so to speak. And it's yucky habit, and let's protect our lungs. And if you can do for yourself, do for your children, do for your grandchildren. There it is. Have your say in Yarn Up Song here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
Growing old, 'cause I know I'm existential shit.
Troy Cassidale here, you're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Don't give up, there's always tomorrow. Can do whatever you want to. Don't give up, there's always tomorrow. Can do whatever you want to. Their minds nearly closed, they're all so narrow. Their words are so weak, they're all so hollow. There's always tomorrow. You can do whatever you want to. Lost the way, now the way is unknown. Never lose hope, don't let yourself drown. Draw on your strength, set your sights on the tower. There's light at the end, let him be your power. Don't give up, there's always tomorrow. You can do whatever you want to. Don't give up, there's always tomorrow. You can do whatever you want to. There's always tomorrow. You can do whatever you want to.
like to take a trip to the island in the sun, to the island of blue lagoons. And from the waters it can be heard the sound of islander drums. I know my brown skin girl is waiting for me on the pearly beaches of Ti. When she sees me coming, she do the hula twist, and I cuddle her up in my arms.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we've got Foster Nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yanup Strong? It's about towards 2035. We're talking about a campaign, which is the Pharmacy Guild's strategic plan for the next decade. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with a sister who's a pharmacist, and that's Tamira Guevara. And on the line, Tamira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you? I am good.
Fantastic. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm Tamira. My mob is the Arab people from Darnley Island. I'm in Brisbane at the moment, you know, in the community, North Brisbane.
Beautiful. Darnley Island man here, so we got connection, my sister. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, good to be here. Congratulations being a pharmacist. We're talking about towards 2035, which is the Pharmacy Guild strategic plan for the next decade. So I see this as a campaign, a bridge builder for communication with our mob in the pharmacy world, you could say, yep?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So when we're talking about this fantastic campaign, is it for the state or for the nation?
So for the nation, ultimately, yeah, every state's going to work towards what they can for mob, but ultimately we want to create a safer, more, you know, advocating environment for mob across Australia.
Look, with everybody out there, go to a pharmacist every now and again, but for those people who are that way inclined, that they live through pharmacy, but we need to have that communication, that bridge, that builder, and the bridge that we need to build in regarding that communication and education. I think you were stating earlier that they fall through the cracks otherwise, yes?
Yeah, and I mean, it's absolute nightmare trying to get to a doctor these days, especially, you know, if you live out way and, you know, don't have close access. A pharmacy is just always there, always open. It's just a good way to go in and get what you need without all the pressure and appointments. So
sure.
Really good to have that option there.
Fantastic. And looking at the strategy, which is anchored by four focus areas, one, patient services and innovation. Two, member services, value and engagement. Three, advocacy and partnership. And four, a thriving community pharmacy network. So those four pillars build a strong foundation for communication and education, you would say.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How long have you been a pharmacist, Tamira?
So I'm recently registered, so I'm a freshie.
A freshie, oh, there you go, new kid on the block.
proper registered for about a couple of months now. So
enjoying that journey?
Oh, hey, look, it's rewarding. It really is.
Good. So in regard to this profession, is there a lot of First Nation pharmacists out there?
Not a lot. Unfortunately, there is only a small handful of us. But, you know, there's heaps of programs out now and, you know, different drivers to try and get more of a mob into those fields that we can connect and, you know, provide healthcare on a deeper level.
So just paint the picture for the young ones out there who may be listening. What does a pharmacist do? What does your job entail?
Stick things on bottles. No.
Shut your mouth. There it is. Drink that. Drink that.
So essentially we are pretty much, you know, you go into a pharmacy, you get a script from the doctor, so on. We dispense it for you, but it is a lot more than that. It's you come in, you have a chat. We like to get to know about you. We want to make sure you're okay. We're going to look at everything, you know, if you're taking anything else, if you're not feeling well, you've got a flu. We're pretty much there just to come in and make sure you're all right, give you the medicine and care that you need, and point you in the right direction if need be. So it's very community. It's very for the people.
Sure, sure. And a lot of people travel to a pharmacist after coming from their doctor, and then they have prescriptions, and then you guys have those tablets or those liquids for that, you know, that medicine as such. But otherwise, pharmacists, you make up medicines and doctors as well. If people haven't been to the doctor, they go to straight to the pharmacist. You sort of know how to tackle their illness. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you come in, oh, I've got a runny nose, or I haven't been sleeping well, or, you know, my leg hurts, I've done this, I've pulled this doing footy, you know, all the rest of it. We can absolutely help with all of that as well. So we're not just the legal drug dealers, you know.
Thank you.
we're there to help, so.
Fantastic. Look, we need more pharmacists at the First Nation. Fantastic. Tamira, thank you for the yarn about towards 2035 Pharmacy Guild's a strategic plan for the next decade. Let's look after our mob. Let's have the communications open. Let's have this bridge, so to speak, so we can communicate and have yarn, and so our mob doesn't fall through the cracks. But Tamira, thank you, sister. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay warm, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
No worries, man. You have an awesome day, hey?
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Deadly Yarn there. Tamira Guevara, her name is. Community pharmacist, Arab Dunleolan woman, and not many pharmacists out there. So congratulations, sister. Lead from the front. But it's about this campaign, closing the gap, so to speak, communication, education, in regards to dealing with our pharmacists out there. So about towards 2035 is the title. The Pharmacy Guild's strategic plan for the next decade. So it's a bold and a practical response to the lessons of the pandemic and the challenges of workforce shortages and the increasing expectations of patients and policymakers. It outlines a clear vision that our communities will think pharmacy first for healthcare. So there it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, your mob too deadly. National Talk Black.
I BB tree, happy sounds of the pickaninnies, and we're on our way today, and we're here to play under Mabel Bob's tree. You plot, try and beat me one more time. Don't ever step the firing line. You plot, speak me what to drop. Mad to Molokor, smash you lot. And we're on our way today, and we're here to play under Mabel Bob's tree. Sitting under the Mecca tree, small pickaninny high above me. What do you see under Mabel Bob's tree? Beach ball, pearl in our leaves. Dump truck, big lids, full motorbike. Melting ice cream, mother nice. And we're on our way today, and we're here to play under Mabel Bob's tree. Do.
This is Mark Harbrow. You're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Train. There was only the two of us there. Soon as we started talking, we had something to share. Found that we had things in common, like taking walks in the rain. We both loved old nursery rhymes. We both felt seemed like hours. There were a lot of feelings there. We laughed, I even cried when she told me that she cared. Then the train began to slow down. I knew I'd never see her again, but I knew she loved old nursery rhymes and walking in. She said, take an umbrella when you're walking in the rain. Listen to old nursery rhymes, remember someone cares. Though I never got to know her name or ask her where she lives, but I know she loves old nursery rhymes and walking in the rain. And she said, take an umbrella when you're walking in the rain. Listen to old nursery rhymes, remember someone cares. Though I never got to know her name or ask her where she lives, but I know she loves old nursery rhymes and walking in the rain. Though I never got to know her name or ask her nursery rhymes and walking in the rain.
We love.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it, we know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor. Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country as Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarnup Strong. Now, Gambling Helps is funded by the Queensland Government to provide free services to members of the community who may be impacted by gambling harm. The harm from gambling extends to not just the person gambling, but to those closest to them, family, friends, work colleagues and the community. It can impact the person emotionally, psychologically, financially and physically. It can disrupt their cultural connections and cause great harm to the relationship they value most. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with me in the studio, Alan Blackshaw, Gambling Help Community Educator. And a very good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, Trevor. It's good to be here.
Thank you. And great to have you. And thank you for coming. First of all, Alan Blackshaw. Who's Alan Blackshaw?
Me. I'll go back to my family. My family comes from Goulburn in New South Wales.
Cold country.
And talking to Trevor early on, we found out that we have a mutual contact there.
Yeah, we do. 6 degrees separation. When we opened our mouth. 2 degrees.
So my family's from Goulburn. I was adopted, so I don't know who my natural family were. Okay. I know a little bit about them, but not a lot. From there, I worked on the south coast of New South Wales and now living in beautiful Cairns.
Saw the light come north, eh?
We did. We did indeed.
Look, so we're talking about the hat that you wear, Gambling Help Community Educator. Look, gambling is a tool. It's for entertainment, but it can become a yucky tool is the word I would use to describe it. It can harm family, friends, colleagues, as I mentioned in the intro. So give us a bit of background regarding Gambling Help Community Educator. Educate us on this vehicle that people are using.
Yeah, look, to start off with, there's no problem with someone gambling, having a bit of fun gambling. It's an entertainment, that's fine. But once it starts to cause harm or negative impact in a person's life or in other people's lives around them, then it becomes a problem.
Sure.
We used to once upon a time talk about problem gamblers. We no longer talk about problem gamblers because we don't want people to be further stigmatised or to feel further shame about issues that they might be having in their lives. What we are saying now is that we're looking at the harm that extends from a person, you know, from gambling, when it gets out of control for a person, when it becomes a coping mechanism for a person and it becomes a little bit out of control. So that can obviously cause financial harm to them, to others, emotional harm. It can also cause them to drink more, take other drugs. So we see it sitting alongside other drugs as well. And it's it can become an addiction. And it can be a difficult behaviour for a person to control. Mm-hmm. So we want to see it through that health lens, that we want to be able to work alongside people to help them, to give them the tools that they need to minimise that harm and perhaps, you know, reduce the gambling they're doing, or some people may have to end up giving up gambling as well.
Sure.
Harm, it's pretty interesting. When we talked about problem gambling years ago, we only saw about 1% of the population. But we know about 10% of the population who are who gamble are also suffering some degree of harm. And then that extends to their family and friends, their work colleagues, because they may be borrowing money from their work colleagues. It may interfere with their work where they want to get an advance on their
pay.
On their pay.
Sure. So we're talking about addiction here, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. It can become an addiction. So we think that the research is now saying that gambling harm can impact up to 20%, not just of gamblers, but of the population in general. So of the adult population, 1 in 5 people may be impacted by either their gambling or someone else's gambling.
So and with that, you look at so-called we're all big supporters of our football codes, AFL, yep. NRL, you know, professional sports, basketball, whatever it is. The gambling runs coincide with that.
Yes. We see one of the growth areas that we're seeing are people coming to gambling help for support around sports betting.
Yes.
Because like any other form of gambling or any other behaviour, it can become a major problem for them. The problem with sports betting is you can just grab your phone out and do it very quickly, and you don't even see the money. It can be play money for all.
Sure.
So it's got that further one step disconnection.
True monopoly.
Away from money. So it can feel like monopoly money. We in particular do see a lot of quite a number of young tradies because they finish work earlier and they might gamble together. We also might see them after they've young blokes might go play a football game, go to the pub afterwards and put a few bets on. For most, it's fine. Mm. But for some people, it starts to get out of control, and then that harm factor comes into play, and that's when we would really like them to come and seek help as early as possible.
Well, we're talking about entertainment, and you open it up with in regarding gambling. Yes, it is entertainment. When you get your pay packet, your bills are paid, your rent's paid, or your mortgage is paid, and electricity paid, and food's in the fridge, so to speak, in the cupboard, then you got money aside for the gambling, which is your entertainment. Some people like to go and buy jewellery. Some people like to go jet skiing. Some people like to go away on a weekend. But if gambling's it, as long as you stay within that perimeter, you would say in that budget.
Yeah, look, and it makes a lot of sense to be able to budget first.
Yes.
The thing is that we all come to those choice points. Some people make choices that go towards that value of paying things up front first. Other people decide to do other things first.
Sure.
But as I said before, it's as long as it's not creating harm in a person's life, there's no problem with gambling. It would make a lot of sense to budget first, pay your bills first, then have an entertainment dollar, some play money.
Okay. Now, gambling help community. The individual has to reach out, or can a friend, a family member reach out for the individual? How does that work, and is there engagement when a friend or family member reaches out?
Yeah, look, we talk to both the person themselves if they reach out, family members, that if they are concerned about another family member's gambling, they're already impacted by the harm of that gambling. It's already at a stage where they're reaching out to help. So we'll talk to them as well. So as I said, anyone who's impacted by gambling, we find sometimes that the person who's gambling may not recognise that it's a problem yet, but other people may recognise it first. We often talk to people who come to us first, and then the person who's gambling may come later after that person's been to see us, has got some information, and is able to just probably talk to their partner.
Yes.
It could be their parent who's gambling, it could be their children. We find that it extends from the person gambling. Once it's at a stage where it is causing harm, that can be to parents, children, extended family, their friends, and even into the workplace where they may be borrowing money, as we've said before, from their mates.
Now, it's hard and probably hard to police, or I don't know if they've got the right to do so, but if you've got the local publican who's aware of someone in this situation, can they stop them from coming in?
They can talk to the person and they can recommend that they seek help. The person themselves can self-exclude. Self-exclusion is a great tool. Many people don't come for counselling. They come for us to help them to exclude from a venue.
Okay.
The process is pretty simple. You can exclude yourself from, in Queensland, you can exclude yourself from the whole venue or part of the venue.
Okay.
So you might choose that I still want to go out with my friends and have a good time, to have a meal, to have a drink, to socialise, but I don't want to go into the gaming room. So you could exclude yourself from the gaming room and we'll help you with the paperwork for that. And that works incredibly well because there are penalties if you do breach that self-exclusion down the track.
Yep.
What happens is that you fill out the self-exclusion paperwork. We take a photo. You supply us with a copy of your driver's license. That goes off to the venue. Comes back to they'll send you an email. Once you receive that email, you've got 24 hours to change your mind. And then it stays in place for 5 years.
Okay.
After 12 months, you can ask for that to be reviewed. But otherwise, it's a five-year period. And then you can renew it again. We often have... I thought at first, when I first started working in this sector, that self-exclusion, I didn't think it would work. But for many, many people, it's incredibly successful. It provides that psychological barrier.
Yes.
So they can still go into a venue and they know that they're not going to gamble.
Yeah,
they've
sure.
got that wall.
They signed the contract, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like a contract and it's a deal they've made with themselves, which with the venue, with the government. If the venue do spot you there and you are in the gaming room and are playing the machines, they can ask you to leave that area. They can also, if you do win on the pokies, when you've excluded yourself from the pokies, you won't be paid out.
Sure. Okay, fantastic. OPE, other people's experience. So you would have come across a lot of different stories and different scenarios, not to mention any names, but can you paint some picture about the devastation of gambling?
Oh, look. We talk to a whole range of people. The thing about gambling is that it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what your culture is, what your class is, what your educational standard is.
How old you are.
Even though it does, people more likely to initially get caught up are often younger.
Okay.
We know that from research it's 18 to 34-year-old males in particular. So young blokes are particularly vulnerable as far as getting caught up with gambling and gambling harm goes. Look, some of the stories we have, as I said, tradies. I've spoken to quite a few young tradies who've come in and to talk about their gambling. Sometimes they come in because their parents have wanted them to come in. We often have less success with people that who've been sent along because they feel they have to make mum and dad happy or their wife happy.
So they're not committed to the change, so to speak.
Yeah. But sometimes if they've realised that, well, if my partner or my mum's seen this as a big problem and has spoken to me about it and has made the call to these blokes, these people at Gambling Help, then maybe it is a problem, maybe I need to think about it. So I've had one particular young bloke in particular where his partner rang up and it was about sports betting. We worked with him on strategies that worked for him so he can still go out with his mates, have a good time. And he's got the tools in place so he doesn't feel he has to gamble.
Yep. Are you finding a lot of people are coming to you?
We'd like more to come to
us. Yeah, sure.
One of the things with gambling is that it has a lot of stigma. It's a lot of shame job with gambling.
Okay.
More so than any other addiction. We often say that a person would much rather tell us that they took a truckload of ice on the weekend than that they'd spent a couple of thousand dollars gambling.
Okay.
A lot of shame with gambling, and we want people to know that, you know, we will talk to them in a non-judgmental way. We don't judge you at all. We just want to help.
Want to help.
We would like to see more people come in. It's a hard yards for a person to overcome that shame.